is Dan Zwicker. He is at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning to you, Dan. Thanks so much for being with us. I know you've been watching what's been happening on the crop tour. What are your thoughts about the pro farmers' look at the marketplace?
Well, I guess, you know, it's kind of the way I'm reading in between the lines, it kind of looks like pro farmers, at least estimates coming in on the corn crop, kind of imply that maybe USDA might be a little high, but who knows? You know, USDA will have another shot at their estimate with a little more detail for the September report. But reading in between the lines, it kind of looks like maybe at least the pro farmer numbers are going to probably come in a little bit underneath, I think, USDA's estimate. Soybeans, I think what's happening in soybeans, these recent round of rains that we've had here over the past 5 to 7 days has kind of filled in all the dry areas that people worry about. So they kind of feel that we are adding bushels to soybeans. Now, whether or not we're adding bushels to USDA's yield estimate or we're just getting closer to it, I guess that's the big question that the trade will wrestle with as we go on into September. But wheat and corn futures have stayed inside that crop report day's range, whereas soybean futures have made new lows for the years on this improved expectations of some pretty good yields because of the rain.
Does that surprise you, and is there much of a chance that soybeans can recover?
Well, I still think, I mean, soybeans are getting beat up on a couple fronts. Number one, South America is a year-round supplier of soybeans now. Now, Brazil is out of the market, but Argentina still has soybeans to sell. The trade is worried about the China economy and maybe the China appetite for soybeans won't be as strong as it has been in the past. So I think that has kind of been also added to the overall general negativeness of adding on to the August crop report. Now, I think we're going to see some acreage changes. I know everybody got hung up on the FSA numbers that we saw last year, but the FSA numbers do imply that prevent plant number is higher than what they are using on their current balance sheets. So we'll have to see another month of that data and see whether or not some of these soybeans if the soybean can recover. The other thing is that there is an awful lot of late beans, and I'm not too sure that they're going to have that big yield to, or have a high enough yield maybe to have us reach USDA's number. But like I said, we still have a few weeks yet of the growing season, especially in soybeans, where we could probably add or subtract bushels. The corn number is probably pretty well locked in place. It's just that we got highly variable conditions, and nobody really knows what the exact size of the crop is until we probably get it harvested and we go through some grain stocks reports, and that's not going to happen until December and March.
Unlike the soybeans, as you mentioned, the corn trade since the report where there's a big outside down week, has been fairly narrow and been inside that. Did that set, do you suppose, a trade range on the top and the bottom for a while and consolidation area that farmers can expect to trade through?
Well, I think that's the way I would read it. We've got one more week here of August, and then all of a sudden we'll be talking about the September crop report. I think the trade will kind of want to see what pro farmer numbers are when they release them. I think they're going to release the final maybe tonight, see what kind of difference there are in that. But, you know, the pro farmer tour, we got to keep in mind, is somewhat limited in nature. They don't go too far outside of the main areas, and they miss a lot of the main areas too. So, but farmer selling is at a standstill. End user demand seems to be picking up a little bit. We did see an export sale here this morning, about 200,000 tons. So that is what I would probably be watching from this point forward now, is since the trade has at least settled in on some kind of production number, and prices are stabilizing on corn and wheat. Now we'll see whether or not we can start stabilizing on soybeans, is if we begin to see a pickup in export interest and end-user interest, because nobody has any coverage on, but on the other hand, farmers don't have anything sold. So maybe that could be they could be offsetting factors as we move on into harvest.
One final note before I let you go. There is a lot of concern about the Chinese economy and its impact on the potential export of soybeans from the United States. Do you see that from where you are there at the export facilities?
Well, everybody's worried about that, but if one thinks about it, the Chinese currency, the yuan, has held pretty steady against the dollar over the past year. If you look at the other foreign currencies, whether it's the euro, the Australian dollar, the Brazil real, they have all lost upwards of 30% value against the dollar. So China's move to weaken their economy to make them more competitive in the world market and allow us to continue to buy their goods that they produce for Christmas and all of the stuff that's sold in Walmart and Target and Sears and Roebuck and that, I think that's going to be positive toward ag commodities, because if those containers come to the United States with their goods, they're going to go back to China full of soybeans. So I think the ag trade is misreading the China economy. They got a long ways to go to devalue their currency and still not be out of whack compared to what the other countries have done around the world. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But China has been pretty well pegged their currency to the dollar. And if they would let that maybe begin to float and maybe weaken, that would probably be positive toward ag commodities, but may not be too positive towards some of the companies that are on the stock exchanges.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. We'll talk with you during the closing market report this afternoon.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker, of course, is with CGB Enterprises. He's out of Mandeville, Louisiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. Find us online at will.illinois.edu. On the South Farms at Agronomy Day, I'm Todd Gleason.